Divine Office. From ancient times, the Church has had the custom of celebrating each day the Liturgy of the Hours. In this way, the Church fulfills the Lord's precept to pray without ceasing, at once offering praise to God the Father and interceding for the salvation of the world. Monday, Office of Readings. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines.
Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him fire devours, around him tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people.
Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you.
I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds.
For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky. All that moves in the field belongs to me.
Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Offer to God the sacrifice of praise.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
But God says to the wicked, "But how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds?"
You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime.
You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you?
Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts.
Listen, my people, and I will speak.
I am the Lord, your God.
From the book of Ecclesiastes, I said to myself, "Come now, let me try you with pleasure and the enjoyment of good things." But behold, this too was vanity. Of laughter I said, "Mad," and of mirth, "What good does this do?" I thought of beguiling my senses with wine, though my mind was concerned with wisdom, and taking a folly until I should understand what is best for man to do under the heavens during the limited days of their life. I went on to the consideration of wisdom, madness, and folly, and I saw that wisdom has the advantage over folly as much as light has the advantage over darkness. The wise man has eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I knew that one lot befalls both of them. So I said to myself, if the fool's lot is to befall me also, why then should I be wise? Where is the profit for me? And I concluded in my heart that this too is vanity. Neither of the wise man nor of the fool will there be an abiding remembrance, for in days to come both will have been forgotten. How is it that the wise man dies as well as the fool? Therefore, I loathed life, since for me the work that is done under the sun is evil, for all is vanity
and a chase after the wind.
And I detested all the fruits of my labor under the sun, because I must leave them to a man who is to come after me, and who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yet he will have control over the fruits of my wise labor under the sun. This also is vanity. So my feelings turn to despair of all the fruits of my labor under the sun. For here is a man who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and to another who has not labored over it, he must leave his property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for man than to eat and drink and provide himself with good things by his labor. Even this, I realized, is from the hand of God. For who can eat or drink apart from him? For to whatever man he sees fit, he gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives the task of gathering possessions to be given to whatever man God sees fit. This also is vanity and a chase after wind. God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to the man who pleases him, but to the sinner he gives a weary heart and a foolish eagerness to heap together riches.
This is vanity and a chasing after the wind.
The love of money is the root of all evil, and some men in their greed have brought upon themselves many bitter sorrows.
This is vanity and a chasing after the wind.
From a homily on Ecclesiastes by St. Gregory of Nyssa, Bishop. We shall be blessed with clear vision if we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, for he, as Paul teaches, is our head, and there is in him no shadow of evil. St. Paul himself, and all who have reached the same heights of sanctity, had their eyes fixed on Christ, and so have all who live and move and have their being in him. As no darkness can be seen by anyone surrounded by light, so no trivialities can capture the attention of anyone who has his eyes on Christ. The man who keeps his eyes upon the head and the origin of the whole universe has them on virtue in all its perfection. He has them on truth, on justice, on immortality, and on everything else that is good, for Christ is goodness itself. The wise man then turns his eyes toward the one who is his head, and the fool gropes in darkness. No one who puts his lamp under a bed instead of on a lampstand will receive any light from it. People are often considered blind and useless when they make the supreme good their aim and give themselves up to the contemplation of God. But Paul made a boast of this and proclaimed himself a fool for Christ's sake. The reason he said, "We are fools for Christ's sakes," was that his mind was free from all earthly preoccupations. It was as though he said, "We are blind to the life here below, because our eyes are raised toward the one who is our head." And so without board or lodging, he traveled from place to place, destitute, naked, exhausted by hunger and thirst. When men saw him in captivity, flogged, shipwrecked, led about in chains, they could scarcely help thinking him a pitiful sight. Nevertheless, Even while he suffered all this at the hands of men, he always looked toward the one who is the head, and he asked, "What can separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Jesus? Can affliction or distress? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or death?" In other words, what can force me to take my eyes from him who is my head and to turn them toward things that are contemptible? He bids us follow his example. Seek the things that are above, he says, which is only another way of saying, keep your eyes on Christ.
As the eyes of servants are on the hands of their masters, so our eyes are fixed on the Lord our God, as we wait for him to have mercy on us. I am the light of the world. No one who follows me will ever walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. So our eyes are fixed on the Lord our God, as we wait for him to have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that always pondering spiritual things, we may carry out in both word and deed that which is pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.